Amen. Well, I'm very happy to be the last speaker, and it's been a great week. Amen.
Yep.
Seven straight in a row Red Hot Preaching Conferences I've been to, and I'm very thankful for that. And pretty crazy how things have changed in the last 7 years. Where, you know, we were just coming down trying to start get something going for a church up in Vancouver, Washington, and you know, 7 years later, you know, it's just all of our dreams have come true as far as being a church, a soul-winning church, and being in the right kind of church. And you know, I'm a pastor now, so I never thought that was going to happen. So, just a lot of blessings, a lot of great people that I love here, and I'm very thankful to be able to preach for you tonight. I just wanted to say thank you to Pastor Miss Joanne, Pastor Jimenez, Miss Joanne, and all the staff has been great. And thank you, Verity Baptist Church, for putting this on. I know it's a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice. I really appreciate it. And I just want to say hi to my Sure Foundation Baptist Church members. Could you all raise your hands if you're in here and you're from our church? Yeah, we travel well. Thank you, everybody, for coming and being a support here. And I know that you probably have had a great time. There's been a lot of great sermons preached. I want to say thank you to my pastor friends who are always there for me when I need them. And also want to say thank you to my family who's here. I got most of my kids here with me today, and my wife, and the in-laws, the Gesslers. So anyway, and all my grandchildren, or well, not all my grandchildren, I think all my grandchildren are here. Yeah, so I'm thankful for all my grandchildren. I got 7 grandchildren now. So I had 0 when 7 years ago. So and we got Titus is the last one was born, and he's the first boy. So he's automatically ranked number one. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Anyway, I love them all. So I want to focus on verse number 53 tonight. And look down at your Bible. It says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." The title of my sermon tonight is "The Militant Atheist Religion." The Militant Atheist Religion. And what is a militant atheist? Well, I'm going to give you the definition. It is a militant atheist is defined as one who is militantly opposed to theism, theist, and religion. Militant atheists have an extreme hostility toward religious theism, and that entails a desire to see religion suppressed by force. The label militant atheist tends to be used interchangeably with fundamentalist atheist, that's a misnomer there, new atheist, and anti-theist. So basically, you know, there's a lot of people out there that would say that they are atheists, and that means that they do not believe that there is a God. And I think most of those people that would say that are probably, they're not really the militant atheist type. There's a lot of people that have been raised in a home that's secular, they went through school. And let me tell you something, the start of public school is dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. And, you know, they want to talk about, you know, us brainwashing our children, but that's what public school does. It tells you dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. It tells you that the earth was formed billions of years ago. It tells you that life came from this big bang, from an infinitesimal dot that swirled around and exploded and created all these galaxies or whatever, and that it rained on rocks for billions of years, and out of the rain that came, out of this primordial soup, came the first two living creatures that were able to procreate and make everything that you see today, and that we're all related to, basically, when you boil it down, to rocks, that we come from rocks. That's what they believe, folks. And they say that that is science. And then they say that what we believe is just idiotic. It's, you know, Bronze Age goat herders came up with this religion and all this other stuff. And that, you know, a militant atheist is, I believe, someone that actually hates God and they're fighting against God and they're trying to rip, you know, what this definition said is that they're just against theism. They're against basically any religion. And I would say that that's probably true, but who do they attack the most? 99.9% of the attacks that they do are against Christians, against the Bible, against what God says in His Word, and they totally their life's mission is to, hey, I'm an atheist, debate me, bro. You know that meme that has like the chubby guy that looks like he lives in his mom's basement or whatever. And it's he has a shirt on that says, I'm an atheist, debate me, or whatever. But they're all over the internet. And they're always trying to, anytime like something is brought up about Christianity, they're there to mock it and make fun of it. And so I do believe, though, that atheists can be saved. However, when you get into the militant atheist branch, I think those people are, by and by and large, reprobates, okay? So, and I'm going to show you that, actually, from the scriptures tonight, that there's a separation. There's those that would say there is no God, but if they had a chance to just listen to the gospel and maybe the power of God's word would turn in their hearts and help them to see how stupid their atheistic religion really is, that they would be saved. But these militant atheists that are out in the world, they're trying to rip down God and destroy him in any way they possibly can. And they do that a lot by their own style of preaching. So really, they are a religion in their own. They have their own prophets. They have these guys that, you know, are their prophets, like Richard Dawkins and people like that, that will go out and militantly fight against Christianity, and they use their so-called science, falsely so-called, to do that. But really, they've kind of turned into this like sci-fi religion, this Star Wars believing religion, you know, this multiverse, like we're in the Marvel Universe now, religion. But anyway, so number one tonight, I just want to point out the fact that atheists are fools, okay? What does it say right there in verse number one? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's the atheist. They say there is no God. That person, what's the Bible say? They're a fool. Yeah. Now, let me give you the definition of fool, okay? It's pretty simple. A silly or stupid person, a person who lacks judgment or sense. And anybody that thinks that a infinitesimal dot blew up and made everything that you see here and every living creature on this planet and out and just the perfect way that our world is shaped that only we can survive on it is a fool. They're an idiot. They're stupid. So they lack judgment. They can't look at a tree and go, wow, that was made by somebody. They say, oh, that just happened by evolution for billions of years or whatever. And they think that that is intelligence. The Bible says a fool is a stupid person. So don't get offended. That's what the definition, that's not from the Bible. That's just from a dictionary, right? Here's the number two definition. I like these definitions also, though. A professional jester, formerly kept by a person of royal or noble rank for amusement. I put in parentheses a clown. Because you have to be a clown to believe in, you know, to be atheist. And this is what they'll say. They'll be like, oh, you're so stupid. Don't you realize that we don't believe there's a God? Your God is just, you know, billions of years. It's like the magic wand of billions of years. They have to believe that nothing created everything. And that is stupidity. That's just impossible. You can't look at anything in this world and just say, hey, that must have made itself. I mean, that is the epitome of stupidity. Here's the third definition. A person who has been tricked or deceived into appearing or acting silly or stupid. And I would say that a lot of atheists fall into this category. They've been tricked or deceived into being stupid. So I like all three definitions for militant atheists. But I mean, because you have to be stupid to believe that there is no God. That's what the Bible says, right? So let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. Ephesians 4, verse number 17. Point number one is the atheists are fools. And the Bible warns us not to get our understanding from, you know, foolish people, reprobate type people. Look what it says in verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. I believe this is talking about reprobate type people, so I would say that militant atheists fall into this category. But look what it says in verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness, with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. The Bible's warning us not to get our, to pattern our mind after the foolish things of this world and the foolish people in this world. And atheists reject God and say that they think he's not real, and the way militant atheists act, it seems like they do believe in God, though. Because why would you, let's just take this logic for a second. If you didn't believe something was true, and I'm sure there's a lot of things y'all don't believe is true, do you fight against those things? I don't believe the Easter Bunny's real. But do you, I'll preach a sermon saying, you're dumb for, trying to replace Jesus with the Easter Bunny, obviously. But the Easter Bunny's not real, folks. But I don't spend my life fighting against an imaginary character. So listen, if you're an atheist and you think that God is not real or true, why would you fight against something that you feel is an imaginary character? But see, that's the problem. They don't really believe that. They might say they believe that, but they really don't believe that, because why would they fight so hard against him? This is the militant atheist. Now, there's certain questions in life that people ask. And one of those things is, how did we get here then? Let's just look through some scriptures and let's see what the Bible says about how the world was made and how it was created. I'm going to have you turn to John 1:1, but in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We have the answers to the questions. They don't have the answers to the questions. They have theories. They have, the theory of evolution. But they teach it as fact in the schools, all the way through college. And usually a lot, by the time someone gets to college and they've bought into all this atheism garbage, they're pretty much ruined. See, they have, we're paying the public school systems and the teachers and the colleges and the college professors to teach people that there is no God. How insane is that? That is insane. But you're in John 1:1, look what the Bible says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. How did the world get here? Well, it was spoken into existence by the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ. You want answers? We got answers. You want answers of why people die? You find it in Genesis. You want answers of how, what the doctrine of marriage, you find that in Genesis. We have the answers to the questions that people need to know, but these militant atheists want to fight against us. Look what it says in verse 2. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So who made the world? God did. How did he do it? The Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. See, atheists probably really do believe in God. They just don't like him. They just hate him. And they don't want to believe that there's rules that they have to live by or someone that they're accountable to in the end of their life. They don't want to believe in hell. They don't want to believe in heaven because they just want to live their life however they want, and they want to drag as many people down with them as they can. Look at Colossians 1:16. It says, for by him, this is talking about Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And by him, all things consist. So this world consists by the word of God. The very people that hate our God, God holds them together. He allows them to breathe air every single day, even though they have great disdain and hatred for him. But see, we know him as the God that's created all things. All things are created by him. By him, all things consist. Talking about matter and time and space, all these things consist by God. Look at Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. David, when he was just musing, he's sitting here just thinking about the things of God and just, you know, you if you walk outside, you can actually see the stars. You can see some of the planets with your eyes. You can see shooting stars and all and comets and all kinds of stuff like that. David's looking out and he's like, he said, when I consider, verse 3 says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? David's just like, hey, we're just like these puny little specks that you've made. Why do you think about us? Why do you care about us? You know, it's a great comfort to know that God loves us. He cares about us. He looks down on the individual and loves each and every single individual in this place. And you know what? He does think about us. He does love us. He wrote a whole book for us to go by, and he gave us the answers that we need to know. You know, and people just like to ask endless stupid questions, and atheists like to just go and try to find contradiction in the Bible to try to, you know, ruin people's faith. That's what their point is. And a lot of times people can't come back because they don't know the Bible. So Christian, learn your Bible. Know what you're talking about. Turn to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. See, God says that there's people that are without excuse. These people that hate God and they say, well, there's no proof that there's any God. Look out the window. Look outside. You know, we're soul winning the other day, and there's this beautiful bird singing at the top of a tree. There's all kinds of beautiful plants and things like that. It was hot, but it was still beautiful, you know. And you can find beauty in this world. And obviously, you know, God destroyed the earth with a flood, but he also allowed us to be able to live here and to enjoy what he created. Still, look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. See, God has showed every single person the fact that he is. And it says in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. So nobody is without excuse. I mean, no, everybody's without excuse. It doesn't matter whether they believe in God or not. They are going to be accountable whether they like that or not. It says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. This is where you get the reprobate atheist here. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. See, they say that God's stupid, God's dumb, God's not true, God's a fairy tale, God's this, God's that, and they speak these great swelling words against him, but when they once they profess themselves to be wise, they're actually fools. Remember how we started out, Psalm chapter 53? The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Every April 1st, I post the same meme. What is the meme? It's Mr. T. And he said, I pity the fool who has said in his heart that there is no God. Every year I post the same one. Because you are a fool if you don't believe that there's a God. And April 1st is obviously April Fool's Day, so that's why I like to post that meme at that time. But see, these people, they say they're wise. They think they're wise. They have all these, you know, cute catchphrases that they learn from other atheists like the magic sky daddy. You know, you can just believe in your magic sky daddy, or you know, the whatever. What's some other things that they say? The flying spaghetti monster. That's another one. Yeah, they say all kinds of garbage like that, but they're the ones that are the fools. They are fools, but they want to mock our God and make fun of him. Look, again, if I didn't believe in something, why would I fight against it? But they do believe. And they just want to try to tear it down. It's just like any other false religion. What is their goal to do to not make you, to make other people believe and something that's not true so they can go to hell too. So turn to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 27. And think about this. 20 times in Genesis, the Bible tells us that God made these different kinds of animals. 20 times. Do you think that he wanted us to know that there's different kinds of animals that he made? You know why he put that in there? So that we'd know there's just there's multiple kinds of animals. Not that they evolved from one species of creature that came out of some primordial soup. He wanted us to know that he made the animals, and he made different kinds. You know, and one of the things that they really like to go after is like, all the animals in the ark all the animals in the world couldn't have fit in the ark. Well, yeah, they could, because you only have to have two dogs, two cats, two birds, or whatever. You don't have to have every subspecies and every variation within the kinds. See, I believe in variations within the kinds. You know, God wants things to be unique. There's variations within this kind right here today.
Amen.
Right? Not everybody looks the same. We all look different, and God made us all unique. And, you know, it's because he likes variety. But I know I had to turn to that scripture, but I want to show you a little demo here real quick. And I want to see if, and I know, let's just play make-believe for just a few minutes here, okay? Because that's what they like to do, right? They like to make believe. So we'll make believe that these are real dogs, all right? And I need a volunteer for this specific. I need like a 10-year-old. Who's a 10-year-old in here? Noah. Come on up, Noah. So I know that there's no such thing as blue dogs, okay? They might have the gene codes to splice together so they could dye one or something. But so, what are these animals right here, Noah?
They're dogs.
Now, what about this? What is that? Which one? I just wanted you to answer this question. Which one of these is not like the other ones?
I think it's the banana.
The banana. All right. Do you like bananas?
Yeah.
You can have it. Yeah. So, see, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has perfected his praise, right? So, here's what I want you to do. You can keep one of the dogs, but you got to give two of the dogs to somebody else, all right?
Okay.
Other kids, it's your choice.
Okay,
go ahead.
Then,
all right, now you can go be like the gift bearer. All right, thank you, Noah. Okay, so that was my first experiment, and he passed with flying colors. I'm so glad. He must be homeschooled. Okay, so now I have Mom, Dad, something that looks like a baby. Okay, let's see what else I got. I got a rock. Papa Stone, Mama Stone. All right, I need another volunteer. Another 10-year-old would be great. A lady right there. Okay. Are you nervous? Are you okay? What's your name?
Calesta.
Okay, Calesta. So I have a trivia question for you. Okay.
Okay.
Hold on just a second. All right. So I want you to tell me, which one do you think would be the parents of this thing right here? Which one do you think would be the parents? Do you think the rocks would be that thing's parent?
These ones are the parents.
Those ones are the parents. Well, very good. Thank you. All right, hold on a second. Hold on. All right, you get Mom and Dad.
I already have these.
You do? Okay, well, here. Come back up here. Give them away.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Good job. Thank you. So I know that's kind of silly, right? But there's literally people that believe that we're related to rocks. As far as I know, this rock is not alive. I mean, it didn't cry out to me or anything like that. So, you know, it's not rocket science, folks. But yet people will teach our children that they're related you know, to different types of plants and rocks. They'll say we're related to bananas. I mean, how stupid do you... Oh, here's my relative, my distant, here's my cousin. I mean, you have to be an idiot to believe that.
Right.
Oh, wait, the Bible says you're an idiot if you believe that. It calls you a fool.
That's right.
Now, I had you turn over to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 27. Look what, this is, you know, this kind of fits the atheist here. Saying to a stock, which is like a piece of wood, or a trunk, or a block of wood, or something, thou art my father. And to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. Doesn't that fit the atheist right there?
Yeah.
For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face, but in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. You see, there's no atheist in foxholes, is there? Anybody that's been through a major war, you know, that they say that's a saying, right? There's no atheists in foxholes, because when you're getting bombed and you think you're going to die, those people aren't calling out to the rocks. They're not calling out to their banana relatives. They're calling out to God, asking them to save him.
Right?
So the God, their gods are science and created things. But when the chips are down and they're really afraid, they're going to cry out to God. But he's not going to answer in some cases, is he? So they're the ones that really have, you know, they have a religion. It's militant atheist religion is what it is. And, you know, they have faith in all these stupid theories and stupid things that they believe in. Because you have to be a complete idiot to believe in evolution. Really. So here's another thing they say. You believe in a book that's written by men. But you know what's really funny about these atheist type people? Don't they believe in books written by men? They do. But I wouldn't say that. I don't believe that we believe in a book written by men. We believe in a book written by God. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Here's what I'd say is some good advice for militant atheists. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. Amen. Maybe you're an agnostic, and you don't know if there's a God. That might be a little bit understandable, but to say that for a fact there is no God just because you haven't seen him? I haven't seen him either. But you know what? I believe by faith that God is real. I believe by faith that he passed this book down so that we could know how to be saved.
Amen.
Again, we have the answers. They don't have the answers. They just have science, falsely so-called, because some of their science might be good. But when it comes to evolution, when it comes to creation, when it comes to how we got here or where we're going when we die, they don't have any answers. They think that this is their only life to live, and then they just die and feed the worms. Well, they're going to feed their worms going to be dying not, but it's going to be in the lowest hell. So let's see. Let's look at, verse number 3. This is why I wanted to show it to you. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. So these atheists, they like to get up and say all these speeches and talk all this stuff about God. But really, the fact that they just have all these multitude of words, you know, try to explain things through jargon that's just ridiculous. They try to look really smart in front of everybody, and really they're stupid. The Bible says the atheists are fools. That means they're stupid, right? That's point number one. Point number two, you might want to pull the ice cream out now. might be a milkshake. Let's see. Okay, I'm looking at the clock, but it's like there's a bar in front of it, so I can't really tell what time it is. Sorry about that. So anyway, point number two is how to know you're dealing with a God-hating militant atheist. So I've already pointed out that number one, atheists are fools, okay? But how to know the difference between a God-hating militant atheist and just a regular atheist that just might still be savable, I want to show you. So turn back in our text to Psalm chapter 53. I should just have you keep a bookmark there because we're going to go back to it again. But Psalm chapter 53 says, God looked down, verse number 2, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, these scriptures apply to everyone, right? Everybody has gone back. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. This puts us all on an even playing field. But here's the difference, okay? Look at verse number 4. It says, have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. So what's the difference? Well, the one that's just not saved, a person that's just not saved, they can get saved. Amen? An atheist can get saved. I have an atheist, a former atheist in my church, and he just listened to some new IFB preaching. He's like, well, this is intelligent. These people aren't just idiots. They know what they're talking about. They know the Bible, and what they're saying makes sense, and that person got saved. Amen. There's another person I talked to earlier today that said that they were formerly atheist. You know, I'm sure, is there anybody in here? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. You're a former atheist. Raise your hand, and you're saved now today. See, there's some. Some can get saved. But when you're talking about workers of iniquity, this is a whole other level of person. See, it switches here to talking about workers of iniquity. And if you know anything about workers of iniquity, that term in the Bible, every single time, there's nothing good said about them. It doesn't talk about how they get saved. As a matter of fact, there's multiple verses that say about the workers of iniquity that they're going to go to hell. Their end is hell. It's another word for reprobate, okay, in the Bible. If you do a study on it, you're going to find that to be the truth. Now, so God switches here from just the average sinner that there's none good, no, not one, to talking about the workers of iniquity. It says, they eat up my people as they eat bread. They have not called upon God. And guess what? You have to call upon God to be saved. Just a little factoid for you there. Now, look at let's look at some verses on the workers of iniquity. I'm just going to show you a few because I'm sure that most of you know this, but if you do a full study, just type in that on a Bible search or whatever and look at this term, there's no positive mentions about them. They're always bad. They're always going to hell. There's always something seriously wrong with them. Look at Psalm 36, verse 12. Psalm 36, verse 12. I'm going to go through these fast. The ice cream's melting already, so Psalm chapter 36, verse 12, the Bible says, There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. See, they're cast down. They're not able to rise. What's going to happen to people that are saved? We're going to rise. We're going to be resurrected someday. The people that have gone before us and died in Christ, they're going to be resurrected. But you know what? The workers of iniquity are not going to be able to be resurrected. They're going to be in hell. Look at Psalm chapter 92, verse 9. Psalm chapter 92, verse number 9. I'm trying to make it easy on you and stay in Psalms here. There's a lot of Psalms that talk about the workers of iniquity, and I'm just trying to show you that what the Bible's pointing out is that the fool has said in his heart there is no God. There are people that are just regular sinners that can be saved, but and the point I'm trying to prove is that militant atheists, when they pass over into this worker of iniquity style here, they're done. God's done with them. Psalm chapter 92, verse 9, for lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Look at Psalm chapter 94, verse 4. Psalm chapter 94, verse number 4. Just a couple pages over in your Bible, it says, how long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? Skip down to verse number 16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? See, these workers of iniquity are really bad people. They're spoken against multiple times, and they're not able to be saved. Look at Luke chapter 13, verse 27. Let's see what Jesus Christ said about the workers of iniquity. See, we know from Matthew 7 that he says, you know, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. This is a parallel passage here. Luke chapter 13, verse 27, it says, but he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. So when he casts these people into hell, when they're going to be like, Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in thy name and done all these wonderful works, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And then in the parallel passage, it says, you workers of iniquity. Workers of iniquity. So the workers of iniquity are another level. They're wicked, they're evil, they cannot come back from what they've done. They're not savable, they're reprobates, all right? And militant atheists also actively seek to turn people from the faith. That's like their big thing, right? So turn to Acts chapter 13. And, you know, I'm not saying that this guy in Acts chapter 13 is an atheist, but he is a false prophet, and I believe that these militant atheists are a form of false prophet. They're preaching their religion,
yeah,
which is atheism, which is, you know, evolution and all that other garbage. It is their religion. They fight tooth and nail to defend it. Acts chapter 13, verse number 6, it says, when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, what's it say he did? Withstood them. So this guy wants to hear the Bible. He wants to hear it, and then you have this false prophet, this Jew, and a lot of, you know, militant atheists are Jews, by the way. I don't know how that works because, you know, I thought they're supposed to believe in the Old Testament God, supposedly, but they don't. But anyway, it says, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So what do these types of people, what do false prophets try to do? They want to seek to turn people away from the faith. That's what militant atheists want to do too. They want to turn people away from the faith. And now look, you can't, if you're saved, you can't be turned away and thrown into hell. Of course, we don't believe that. But there's people that maybe they have like a knowledge of God, and then a person like this will come and say some stupid thing that atheists like to say and turn a person away from the faith. That's a wicked person. That's somebody that God is going to judge very harshly when it comes to the final judgment. It says in verse 9, and then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? So Paul the Apostle blinds this guy, and, you know, he rebukes him. He calls him, what, a child of the devil. So people, you know, I would say that the militant atheists that are trying to turn people away from the faith, you know, what does the Bible say about just a false prophet from whatever, a Jew from, you know, that was happens to be friends with this guy? It says that, you know, he's a child of the devil. You know, these people that want to actively see Paul the Apostle, he was forgiven for going after Christians and trying to get them to, you know, repent from what they believe and all this other stuff. But he was zealous for what he believed was right, and God spared him because he did it in ignorance and unbelief. Now, these people, I believe that the militant ones, they know exactly what they are. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're seeking. Anybody that would seek to turn away someone from the faith is a servant of the devil. I mean, obviously, there is that one person, the Apostle Paul in the Bible, that actually wasn't a reprobate. But in most cases, I would say that a person that would try to steer someone away from the truth of the gospel has got a big problem. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. And I brought this up a little while ago about how Christians are the ones that are mainly attacked by atheists. It's not, you never hear them attacking the Muslims. You never hear them attacking the Hindus. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's an outlier there somewhere where they attack them. But look, they literally talk about throwing, you know, the Muslims want to throw people off buildings. You know, it's raining men. You know, they throw homos off of buildings or whatever. They bury people up to their heads and throw rocks at them until they die. I mean, they're pretty bad people, but, you know, nobody will ever say anything against them. You won't hear the news talk about them. You won't hear politicians talk about them. And you won't hear militant atheists talk about them. And you might think, well, why is that? Well, look at Matthew chapter 12. It says, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. So they're accusing Jesus of being the devil, right? Or casting people out by the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself cannot stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. And how shall then his kingdom stand? So what's my point? Well, the point is that why doesn't the media go against the Muslims? Because they're all part of the same team. Why don't the militant atheists go against the Muslims? They're all part of the same team. If Satan is divided against himself, you know, his kingdom isn't going to stand. So why are they not going? Why do they only go after Christians? Because they know what were the truth. They know that Jesus really is God, and they're fighting against him. That's what the devil does. That's his game. He wants to make everybody else believe anything but God. And he has all these stations set up, all these religions set up, all these false gods set up, and even people that say there is no God set up to try to undermine God and to say all these wicked speeches and blasphemous things against him, calling him the sky daddy, the imaginary man in the sky, and all these other blasphemous things. You know what? They're all on Team Satan. I mean, take it to the bank. Why aren't they talking about the... I actually saw this friendly atheist guy say, well, when Muslims start saying what the rules of... try to imply, you know, put the rules of Islam into, you know, politics, then we'll talk. So he's defending Muslims. You know, and I'm going to talk more about him in a minute, but, you know, they don't attack Islam. They don't attack Allah. They don't attack the pedophile Muhammad. Yeah, he was a pedophile. They don't attack the Buddhists or the Hindus or any other god or any other religion, just the religion of Christianity. Why is that, folks? Why are we silenced and everybody else can say whatever they want? I mean, some of the worst filth and trash on YouTube is just allowed to just go on. You know, just some of the most wicked stuff. You know, people beating up their own grandparents, people fighting, people just using all kinds of filthy language, and that's just okay. But if we get up and preach the Bible, oh man, you know, we better censor them. We better get them off of YouTube. So, you know, and these atheists, they preach this man-centered gospel of science and reason, but how is it real? I mean, 10-year-old children came up here and figured it out real easy, didn't they? Amen. You know, dogs are the same kind, right? They don't fit with the banana. Why? Because they're not the same kind of thing. I mean, you might say a banana's alive, but I mean, I don't think bananas have souls. I don't believe, you know, but animals, you know, they have spirits, but they all go down there, you know. So sorry, kids, I didn't mean to burst your bubble on that one. But so I wanted to talk about this Hemant Mehta. He's a self-pronounced friendly atheist. And he's really been coming after new IFB preachers for a while now. I don't know how long it's been. It's probably been a couple years. But I'll just read you a little blurb about him on Wikipedia. I don't know if I pronounce his name right, but I don't really care. To me, he's Major Beta. But anyway... Born February 25th, 1983, is an American author, blogger, and atheist activist. Mehta is a regular speaker at atheist events and has been a board member of charitable organizations such as Secular Student Alliance and the Foundation Beyond Belief. Mehta used to run the Friendly Atheist blog on Pathos, in which he and his associates published articles several times a day, because, you know, that's just how they are. And also co-hosts a weekly podcast called the Friendly Atheist Podcast. The blog stopped its activities on Pathos from December 14, 2021. Meta, and some of his other associates moved to a new platform called OnlySky, Meta currently also publishes on Substack. On April 1st, 2020, note the date, he won his first appearance on the television game show Jeopardy. Woo! Wow, you're so cool. Like, that has to go. Like, he puts that on everything. Like, it's just as like, oh, I'm so great. I won Jeopardy. I've won Jeopardy lots of times sitting at home. I mean, I've gotten the Daily Doubles. I've got, you know, I've liked Jeopardy in the past. I haven't watched it in a long time, but big deal. But, like, so he goes on April 1st and wins. It doesn't say he won the other ones, though. So it must not be that smart. But anyway, he's no Ken Jennings. But if you know who that is, nobody, everybody's like, who's that? Okay, never mind. Doesn't matter. So what I would say this, you know, he calls himself the friendly atheist, but there's nothing friendly about him.
Yeah.
He's not a friend, but he's an enemy of God,
right,
the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? He's a true worker of iniquity. And I have some things to say about him. I also suspect that he might be a closet fag.
Yeah.
He definitely talks like one. He definitely likes to defend fags.
Yep.
Like, every clip that he puts on there pretty much is about us ripping on homos during Pride Month or whenever we rip on them. And he loves Twitter, okay? So he goes on Twitter and he posts these clips, and really they're great clips. I mean, I love them. So, like, it just makes me want to go watch the rest of the sermon. You know? It's like, oh, I got to bookmark this one. This one's good. Because, you know, there's so much great preaching going on right now, it's just hard to, you know, pin down what I want to listen to. But, you know, if Major Beta is putting it on there, I really want to see what it's all about. So I've been putting, like, some tweets. I'm really not a Twitter guy, but I've just been like, great clip.
<You
know? laughs> Just posting, you know, great clip about him. But, like, here's what he says, his headline on every sermon that he puts a little a blurb of on his Twitter feed. Hate preacher Dave Burson says blah, blah, blah. And it's usually calls for the genocide of, you know, calling for the murder of homosexuals. Or, you know, Pastor Jared Pazarski says wife must make him pancakes. So, you know, I mean, these are the types of clips he puts up about us. But, like, here's the thing. I like the clips. I think they're great. But they're also causing a lot of persecution. And he probably loves that. He's so friendly. He just loves it, you know, when, you know, he makes, like, for instance, Dylan, you know, he's family. So I got to give him some props here. But Dylan's sermon where what was the name of it? Shut Their Mouths. It's called Shut Their Mouths. You know, that got viewed millions and millions of times. And the hashtag Steadfast Baptist, I think, am I right about that? The hashtag has been seen over 200 million times. According to, you know, I mean, take a little. But that's amen. If it's been viewed that many times, that's praise God. I'm happy about that. But here's the part about it that's not fun, is that Steadfast is being, you know, persecuted mercilessly by all these fags and, you know, by all these calls. And it's like, he calls himself friendly, but then he knows that when he posts this stuff, that people are going to get upset because the way he words it. You know, we'll get up and we'll caveat what we're preaching and say, hey, you know, the government should do this after a fair trial, and then take him out in the back and shoot him in the back of the head. But they don't concentrate on the whole quote. They concentrate on the part that they want you to be mad about, that they want these freaks to be mad about. And, like, most people are probably like, amen, you know, the normal people. But it, I mean, I'll admit it might sound bad, but when you put it all together with what we teach and what we believe, I've never called for violence against anybody. Pastor Burgeons doesn't call for violence against people. Pastor Shelley doesn't call for violence against people. That's a lie.
Amen.
And so this is what the devil does. He takes a lie, and then he tries to get us killed. Right? This is the playbook of Satan. He tells lies about Christians and tries to get them killed. You know, he's the father of lies, and he's a murderer from the beginning. Now, when these sermons go mega viral, they get mega persecuted because, you know, like, I'll just say that, like, the TikTok video that, I don't, how many times has it been viewed now, do you know? The one of where they try to tie you to the 10 million views on a video that's filled with lies. Where they'll say that Steadfast Baptist Church, you know, has ties to those people that went to the Pride Parade in, what was it? No, I think, wasn't it? It was Idaho, but it was Coeur d'Alene. Coeur d'Alene. So supposedly 30 dudes get into a sweaty box truck and get dropped off in Coeur d'Alene and surprise the FBI is waiting for them. They're tying that to Steadfast Baptist Church. What do we preach, though? Anybody in this room that's listened to our preaching at any time, do we say go to pride parades and disrupt them? We say stay away from pride parades, right? We don't tell people to go to pride parades. It's just like casting your pearl before swine. It's casting that which is holy unto the dogs. You know, we try to stay as far away from them as possible. You know, Pastor Jones was thinking about, like, putting out some dog bowl dishes for his protesters, but that might just keep him coming back for more, you know. But listen, this guy, he's really pushing hard to get us persecuted, to get us banned off of social media and all that stuff. But, you know, praise God for the fact that people are still hearing the message, even though he's lying in what he's saying about us, that we're trying to radicalize people. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, not one poor fag has been killed by the preaching from me, Pastor Jimenez, Pastor Shelley, Pastor Burgens, Pastor Anderson. You know, Pastor Anderson's been almost in the ministry for 17 years, and not one single person's been killed. But we're cult leaders, we're radicalizing people, we're doing all this stuff. But look, we're not radicalizing anybody, because nobody's gotten killed. So, and if we're cult leaders, then we're bad cult leaders. You know, Jim Jones got everybody to kill themselves, you know? I mean, at gunpoint with some of them, but we're not cult leaders. We're preaching the Bible. But see, these militant atheists hate us, and they hate the message of God. They don't want us to have our message go out to the masses. They want us off of YouTube. They want us off of Facebook. They want us off of all these platforms. Why? And you know what? Well, why do we want to even be on them? Because the truth is powerful. That's why. And we want to be on these so we can preach the truth and people will know what the truth is. And maybe they won't feel like the lonely person at work that hates homos. And really, if you probably could say what you wanted to say out loud, everybody in the workroom would probably be like, yeah, I hate homos too. Oh, you do too? But you can't talk like that. You can't even say anything about it in most workplaces because everything's been, you know, they're bowing down to all these sodomites. They're bowing down to all these freaks and weirdos and letting us get persecuted. Every single day, one of the protesters drives by Dylan's house, and they're not saying anything. Some of the times they are, sometimes they're not. The police will do nothing about it. But if that happened to a politician, I guarantee their butts would be in jail so fast their head would spin.
That's right.
So what are they doing? What is this meta guy doing? He's so friendly that he's trying to get everybody killed.
Yeah.
He's spinning what's true, and then our friends are getting doxxed and lied about. I mean, Pastor Shelley's been doxxed like crazy. People, all the people that go to Steadfast, people have lost their jobs. Yep. It's crazy. Yep. But he's so friendly. He's so friendly. You know, and here's the thing. He calls himself the friendly atheist, and he wants us banned off all these platforms. Well, here's what I would say. This guy actually is the hate preacher. He calls us hate preacher, Pastor Thompson, hate preacher, Pastor Roger Jimenez. He's the hate preacher. Because everything he says is directed hatefully towards Christians. This guy actually has, you know, a YouTube page where he is going systematically through the Bible, yep, and saying, yeah, and making comments on every chapter in the Bible. He's up to Numbers chapter 11. I listened to his Numbers chapter 5 just so I could just hear how stupid he was. And of course, he's using the NIV.
Yeah.
Of course. So the argument that Pastor Burgess was talking about the other day, that they try to use, saying that, you know, he's basically saying, well, I don't hear anti-abortionists say, you know, this part, this caveat from Numbers chapter 5, that their women will have miscarriages. You know why? Because that's not what the Word of God says, you idiot. Yeah.
That's right.
Why don't you get yourself a King James if you're actually going to make some commentary?
Yeah.
You know, but he's using the NIV, which is filled with mistakes and lies, and then uses that. He probably, I'm sure the chapter, what, in Deuteronomy chapter 22, where it says, I think it says in the NIV, right? You made that point that, you know, that these people think that we, that rapists should have to marry their, the person that raped, or I mean, women that are raped should have to marry their rapist. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible actually says they're supposed to be put to death in the King James. So this guy, you know, I suspect he's a fag. I can't 100% say for sure he is. But you know what? If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, and it's constantly defending fags all the time, I think it's possible that he is. I'm not saying for, I mean, he's definitely got some soy in the tank. He's definitely on a soy drip of some sort. So, you know, he claims to have been the one that got Pastor Anderson's YouTube page permanently, got him banned permanently on YouTube. And because I was like, I kind of remembered that some blog had said something. I typed it in, and sure enough, I found it. And he blogged, "I got Christian hate preacher Stephen Anderson banned from YouTube." Well, you know what? Great job, man. You know, because Pastor Anderson is going to get lots of rewards in heaven for actually, you know, being persecuted. You know, and you're like, well, being persecuted from YouTube? Yeah. A lot of people are getting saved from those videos that were on that channel, and it's all gone. You know, and you know, the thing is that this guy just hates us so bad. Like, literally, all of his clips are, what's that guy? He does clip a different guy, but mainly New IFB people. And he kind of throws some other people in there every once in a while just to kind of, you know, not look like he just loves us the most or hates us the most or whatever. But the guy, you know, he's just come after us hardcore. But, you know, he's building some of our YouTube channels. He's gotten Pastor Anderson's taken away. I feel bad about that. But he's building Brother Corbin's. I mean, Brother Corbin's been getting all kinds of views because he constantly puts these Twitter clips on there that are great.
Yeah.
And then people go, hey, let me look at this sermon. I mean, but we're getting persecuted at the same time for it. So really, he is helping us get the Word of God out. If people have watched, you know, some of Pastor Shelley's sermons 200 million times, or Brother Dylan, or anybody else, you know, praise God for that, because the Word of God is going out. But see, he's not going to get rewarded for that. We're going to get rewarded for that. You know, we're going to get rewarded for being persecuted. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. I can't believe, though, that he would, you know, just the fact that he mocks the Bible and makes commentary against God. He, like, calls God an idiot and all kinds of stuff. He's just totally blasphemous on it. Like, it was very difficult to listen to. I listened, so you won't have to, okay? But anyway, hatred just oozes from this guy. And, you know, that's just the way militant atheists are. So I had you turn to Luke 6, look at verse 22. It says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." So, hey, we might be getting persecuted from all these great clips that he's putting up of us, you know, and he's not getting rewarded. We're going to get rewarded.
Yeah.
You know, and Steadfast has really gone through a lot, and I know I keep bringing it up and stuff, but it's been pretty bad. I mean, just having to look at these freaks every single day, that's just bad enough. But getting banned from Airbnb and whatever else, I mean, look, we've gotten, I can't even go on, there's certain things that I'm just banned from too. I don't want to say what it is because they're like, well, he's not banned on this yet, so let's go get him on that. So anyway, but the deepest hell is waiting for this little Peter Pan.
Amen.
He's going to split hell wide open, and there's no saving this guy. But at the same time, he kind of is doing some good for us too. So it's kind of a double-edged sword in this, with this guy. But listen, you know, I can still preach against somebody and hate them and still be thankful for the fact that I'm getting rewards from them. So, but anyway, turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So, listen, kids, don't get your philosophy, which is, you know, man's wisdom. You know, don't be spoiled through all this worldly garbage. You know, and I know that this is an age that we're living in where there's screens in front of people's faces all the time and things like that. Don't let this world spoil you. Don't let this world, and spoil is basically talking about when someone gets conquered and they take what's theirs. But it also can be they're spoiling you, they're making you rotten from the things that they're teaching you. Don't let the world teach you what to believe. Let the Bible teach you what to believe. And look, I'm going to list a couple famous atheists, okay? But when I looked at famous atheists, they're all trash.
Yeah.
Like, what do atheists actually do for us? What do they really do? Well, how about Lenin? Historian Michael Court wrote, during 1919 to 1920, out of the population of approximately 1.5 million, Don Cossacks, the Bolshevik regime, killed or deported an estimated 300,000 to 500,000. Lenin was an atheist. He got his principles from Karl Marx, who was also an atheist and a piece of garbage. But they want to talk about how, have you ever heard people say Christian wars have killed more than any other thing on the planet? No, you know what? Atheists have killed more than anybody on the planet. That's a fact.
That's right.
Joseph Stalin had nearly a million of his own citizens executed beginning in the 1930s. In the 1930s, millions more fell victim to forced labor, deportation, famine, massacres, and detention, and interrogated by Stalin's henchmen. So Joseph Stalin, bad guy, also an atheist. Mao Zedong, you know, started the Chinese Revolution in 1958. He launched the Great Leap Forward that aimed to rapidly transform China's economy from agrarian to industrial, which led to the deadliest famine in history and the deaths of 15 to 55 million people between 1958 and 1962. But other than that, he's a great guy, you know. Pol Pot, also an atheist, lasting for 4 years between 1975 and 1979. The Cambodian genocide was an explosion of mass violence that saw between 1.5 and 3 million people killed at the hands of the Khmer Rouge, a communistic political group, and they took power in the country following the Cambodian Civil War. So why am I reading these? Because, you know, people, you know, want to say that communism is a great form of government, but look, communism comes from atheism.
Yeah, that's right.
And basically they're just a bunch of murderers that want to take over a country and make everybody their slaves. And our country is like, we need to be socialist and communist. It's like, well, why don't you look at the past? The past is going to show you what the future of our country is going to be if we allow it to become this atheistic, God-hating, reprobate society. So here's what Richard Dawkins said in his book, The God Delusion. The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving, control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty, ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, and megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, caparociously malevolent bully. But other than that, he's a nice guy. Also condones mild pedophilia. So big surprise there, right? I mean, that is some of the worst things ever said about God, probably right there. But it's fiction. Tell us how you really feel there, Richard Dawkins. Well, how do you really feel about God? Well, he just told us right there in his own words. And, you know, people follow this guy. Right off the cliff, right into hell. Turn to Jude chapter 1. I'm almost done here. Jude chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible says, and Enoch also, verse 14, the seventh from Adam prophesied of these sayings, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. See, there's these just people that are out there that say these hard speeches, and their mouth speaks great swelling words against God, but someday they're going to pay for what they've said. They're going to pay for those that they've turned away. They're going to pay for the wicked things that they've done. My last point is going to be really quick. Turn back to Psalm chapter 53, verse 5. My last point is God wins in the end, which means we win in the end. So they can have their militant atheistic societies and all these people that hate our guts and try to get us banned and try to get us thrown in prison, try to get lawsuits against us and all these other things. But what's really going to happen is they're going to lose. And they might win some battles, but we win the war. God wins the war. Look at Psalm chapter 53, verse 5. The Bible says, there were they in great fear where no fear was, for God has scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. That's us. We're going to be glad someday. And you know what? God's going to scatter their bones that try to encamp against us. And you know, they're encamped against us all over. They're all over the place trying to destroy us, these militant atheists and these God-hating freaks. But you know what? One day, God's going to get the last laugh. Turn to our last scripture reference here, Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall what? Laugh. He's going to laugh. You're like, God wouldn't laugh at anybody like that. Well, do you believe the Bible or not? That's not the only place that it says God's going to laugh at people. He's going to laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. See, we win in the end. God laughs at them. When they're thrown in the lake of fire, nobody's going to care. These types of people like Major Beta, the unfriendly atheist, he's going to split hell wide open and nobody's going to cry for him. They're going to laugh. God's going to laugh. I'm going to laugh. But you know what? I do want to say that I appreciate him for doing the work of the Lord by posting our best clips and sound bites. And hey, you know what? I'll get people in our church to clip, you know, sound bites that we can send to him. You know, I there's some good ones that I really like to send him. So if he'll just allow me to do that, you know, he can post all the clips he wants. Because you know what? We're going to get the rewards from the persecution that we get from it. And you know what? He's just going to get deeper and deeper into hell. So it's a win-win, really. You know, these militant atheists that want to take us down, you know, why don't we try to take him down? He's the hate preacher. But, you know, God just kind of lets things work themselves out like this, you know, and a lot, there's some people here that are taking a lot more heat. Some pastors are taking a lot more heat than other pastors. You know, we just got to keep praying for them and, you know, asking God to help them. But, you know, it's going to end at some point, right? It's going to end at some point. You know, ultimately, we're the ones that get to win. So, anyway, point number one was atheists are fools, which is true as the day is long. And number two is how to know that you're dealing with the militant atheist. And then number three was God wins in the end, which means we win in the end. And you know what? God gets the last laugh, and so do we. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this great conference. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to go out edified, Lord, and also just wiser, knowing the Bible, learning the Bible, Lord. Great fellowship, great singing together, Lord. And I just pray that you would just help us protect all the pastors that are, Lord, in the trenches and all the men and women that follow us, Lord, as we follow you. I pray you'd help us, protect us, keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.